Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. Amen. This morning, I want you to grab your Bibles. I hope that you have them. I want you to join me in the second chapter, second book of Corinthians, the second book of Corinthians, chapter 5. This morning, as this week has went by, I want to share with you, as I began to study this week and just search my heart, I do things a little different when I, and y'all know I'm a little different anyways, amen? So, I love y'all too, by the way. I hope that's a good thing. But this week as I began to study, it was kind of strange because the Lord was actually giving me some things to point out. And I didn't understand it at first until it all came together this week. If I was to title this message this morning, it would simply be this. What happened? What happened? We often wonder in many scenarios in life that, what happened? You know, and we think of the message of the cross. I want you to understand this, that is one of the greatest love stories ever told. In reality, the most powerful story ever told. But let's be clear, that's not the only thing that took place on Calvary's Hill. Amen? Jesus not only conquered death, hell, and the grave, but He conquered so much more. Amen? And when we look at this, we look at it in a light. And I want to explain something to you this morning. I've answered this question a lot this week. How can you be free of shame and guilt? How can you actually say that you're free of shame and guilt? How can you actually say that your conscience is clean and clear? You know, when I talk about living from the foot of the cross, it's not this simple outline. It's not this one of those things that people look at and they go, man, what are you even talking about? How do you live from the foot of the cross? I want to share a few scriptures with you this morning before we dive in. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 tells me something so unique. And I want you to understand that He took sin upon Himself so we could be free from the grips of death. Amen? For the wages of sin is death. Right? We all have to agree to that. We will all pay that consequence. But here's the thing. We have eternal life in Him. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, and Jesus came to give life more abundantly. That word abundantly means what? Overflow. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. I want you to think about that for a moment because I want you to realize that not only are you hidden in Christ and God, but you're alive in Him. Amen? Repentance is one of the things that we firmly most agree on. We all have to repent, confess with our mouth. Amen? Confess. And when we confess, something happens. When we get on our knees and we cry out and say, Lord, I've messed up. I know that I've sinned. I know that I've done something wrong. Whatever that may be in your life, I need you to forgive me. It is not that you are doing anything justified by yourself. Amen? It is God, the Father, who says, you know what? I see you. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus that was spilled on Calvary's cross, we wouldn't have that atonement. Amen? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 really quickly. And it starts in verse 19. And I'm going to tie all of this together by the help of the Holy Spirit this morning because I'm so excited about this message. Verse 19 says, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Hold on, there's a word I want you to remember, reconciling, okay? Hold on to that word. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. There's that word again. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead by ye reconciling to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that what we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hold up, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me that everything, every temptation, everything that I go through, everything that happens in my life, every time I mess up, he's sitting there waiting, saying, man, all I need you to do is repent. What does that word repent mean? To have a change of mind, right? Turn, not to do the same thing again. Let's think about this for a minute. And this is phenomenal if you think about it. What did he tell the woman at the well? Go and sin no more. Let's think about that for a minute. Woman, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. You've got five. Y'all have heard me make this statement many a times. He doesn't condemn her. Do y'all notice that? He does not put condemnation on her. There is now no condemnation in those in Christ Jesus. Why do we walk around condemned? Because we don't know the difference between, catch this, we don't understand the difference between condemnation and conviction. Follow me here. It's two totally separate different things. When you're condemned, you know that you've done wrong. You know that you feel bad about it, but you refuse to repent over it. Why? I want to share something with you. This thing called legalism has crept into the church. Legalism says you have to do, and you got to do this, you got to do that. But praise God that mercy walked in, pledge your case, and by the grace of God, you have forgiveness at the tip of your lips. All you have to do is ask and have a change in your heart. You cannot continue to live in the same manner that which you lived before. So what happened on Calvary wasn't just to conquer death in the grave. It wasn't just so we could come to church. It wasn't just so we could stand back and say, I'm a Christian. I'm free. In order to be free, you have to have a confession lifestyle. Now, I want to say this. Y'all know it's serious when I break the stool out. I want to say this morning. Oftentimes in life, we get so wrapped up in what everybody else thinks instead of what the Word of God says. Amen. Every time. We're more worried about what people think and what we think, what the Word of God says. We're more worried about their opinion of what our life looks like. Let me tell you something. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you was a drug addict, alcoholic, or anything else. Forgiveness is for everyone. We have a problem. We want to condemn people. Let me tell you this. Before you condemn someone, you better look in the mirror, get a notebook out, and write down every sin you've ever committed. You want to put shame on someone? You better go ahead and flip to the next page and put everything you're shameful of. You want to be free, you've got to be found at the foot of the cross. You have to be. This morning, I'm not preaching to you as a pastor. This morning, I'm preaching to you as an evangelist. You know why? Because we need more evangelism in the church most of the time than we do outside the doors of it. The biggest part of the ministry that God has given me, and y'all have heard me say this 1,000 times, has been to bring Christians back to Christ. We have pastors, teachers, we have failed in the message of the cross. Amen. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. We see the cross as this place of beauty. We see this cross that is decorated and it looks wonderful and it's glorified. I want you to understand the cross is where the most pitiful, nastiest sin was hung. For he who knew no sin became sin. Why in the world would we try to glorify that? Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him daily. But we get so stuck We love to tell people we're Christians, amen? We love to tell people that we are one in Him, that we go to the local church and that we go to local church events and we do all of these things. It's so exciting, isn't it, Miss Debbie? We love to tell everybody about how much we do for God. But one of these days, we walk in and somebody hurts us. How many of you right now, you don't even have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about what I'm just going to ask you. How many of you right now have got a family member who says they was hurt by the church and the reality they was hurt by someone and they left the church never to return again? Answer that in your heart. How many of us right now have a relationship with someone who says, I'm not going to church, them people are hypocrites? That's like saying you're not going to the gym because the guy on the treadmill is fat. Makes no sense at all. Tell me what sense that makes. Can y'all tell I'm fired up this morning? The closer we get to the next Sunday night, it's like I'm more excited. But I want to explain this to you. You're not condemned. You are free of shame and guilt and condemnation. How? Because you live from a state of confession. And if you don't, we've got a problem, church. If you don't repent, look, you know, everybody wants to talk about, I want to name my blessings. I want to count my blessings and name them one by one. I don't even know why I made notes. Praise the Lord. I don't know what else to say. I've thought about this all week. And look, I guarantee you this. This week I have messed up. Amen? Amen. Do y'all know preachers sin? Amen. And y'all know I'm an open book with y'all. Amen? Those that listen to the podcast, I got an email one time. Said it just blows my mind how honest you are. I said, well, it blows my mind how honest I am too. Because there'll be times we'll get in the car and Carrie go, I can't believe you said that. And there's times that she'll just get in the car, she'll put her hand on me and she'll close her eyes. I know what she does, she's praying for me. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, y'all. But seriously, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I got up the other morning. Have you ever woke up and just know you're running late and it don't go the way it should? I jumped in that car, I shut the door, put it in drive, and I went to pull out of the little parking spot that I have, and I go to pull out into the neighbor's driveway because ours kind of got a little medium spot in the middle that we all share. And I went to pull out of their driveway, and about the time I go to pull out, this car come flying down the road. Oh my goodness, I was fuming. We're in a school zone. What do? We have a conversation about how you're in a school zone. And you don't speed in a school zone. I was 10 minutes late for work because I wanted to have a conversation with somebody about their speed limit. So that just messed my whole day up. And you know what happens when you mess somebody's day up? They get cranky, amen? And I was standing there as we got ready to take our break or whatever you want to call it. We call it a quick second is what we really call it because we don't get but a few minutes. And when I say few, sometimes one to two. And I reached in the back, got my can of potty meat. Anybody else eat potty meat? Praise the Lord. I knew y'all were good people. And I had done that can of potty meat. I got my little pack of crackers and I ate it real quick. Washed my hands off, threw me a piece of candy in my mouth to get rid of that potty meat breath. It does exist, I promise. And I went to go inside and I realized that I have locked my keys in my car. So by this time, I'm aggravated, amen? And the Lord quickly said to my heart, in the midst of your anger, in the midst of everything that's going on, why are you not praising me? You know, that hits different, amen? When you know that you're messing up and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to understand, no matter what's going on, you need to focus on me. I stood in the courtroom and I listened to a case being pled. I knew in my heart that this young man was innocent. I don't know how I knew that, Josh, but I just knew in my heart that he was. His lawyer believed that he was. The judge got ready to tell the jury to come back out. to send it, you know, to give the verdict of the trial. And the Lord said, mercy's going to walk in. And I was like, what? In the midst of everything that's going on, okay? I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. I'm not having a good day. Jury comes out, and they begin to read the verdict on count one, not guilty. Count two, not guilty. Count three, not guilty. Count four, not guilty. Count five, not guilty. The judge looked at him and said, young man, today mercy has walked in this courtroom. When you get out of that county jail, you go and you tell people that God has showed you grace. And I had tears well up in my eyes. Because at that very moment, I realized there was a day before I'm going to stand before a holy sovereign God. And I'm going to give an account of my life lived. And for every word that has come out of my mouth, good or bad. And mercy walked in for him, just like it did for you and I. We get outside the back door and he looks at me and he says, only God could have done what just happened. I said, man, I said, you're not lying. I said, let me tell you quickly about my Jesus. He said, I met him yesterday before this trial started. He said, and I'm going to tell you this, when I get out of this place, I'm telling everybody I know about him. I seen him walk out of that place with tears streaming down his face. And he said, I never believed my mama when she told me how good God was. I never believed my daddy when he said he was praying for me. He said, but I knew I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He said, but I knew I was just going to spend the rest of my life in prison because I was with the wrong people. Sometimes the people you hang around, sometimes the people you're around will cause you more heartache and grief than the situation that you're facing. Bo, you shouldn't have done that. God don't love you right now because you've messed up. Carrie, you shouldn't have done that. God don't love you right now because you messed up. That might not be their exact words to you, ladies and gentlemen, but I promise you, by the time you're done talking to some folks, they have you feeling more condemned than what you do convicted. If you could go to bed at night and you say, I'm ashamed of the way I acted today. I'm ashamed of the things I've said. I'm ashamed of the way I'm going in life. Let me tell you this. There is now no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. Why would you be ashamed? Why would you feel so guilty? That is the time when you get on your face or you get on that pillow and you cry out to God and say, Lord, I need you. I need that grace. I need that mercy. But most of all, I need your forgiveness. Amen. We love to talk about the stripes that were taken upon Calvary's cross, upon His back. But I want you to understand, like a lamb, he was led to slaughter and never opened his mouth. Sometimes the best things we can say to people, come on, hear me out before you put me out now. Sometimes the best thing we can say to people, Waylon, is this. Praying for you. Don't tear people down, amen. Be thankful for the opportunity to speak. But I want to say, I want to bleep, 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 bleep. I'll get it out in a minute. I want you to know that when you not only encourage people with the Word of God, you're not tearing them down. I've seen people who take the Word of God and they try to condemn people from Genesis to Revelations. And they say, well, the Bible says this here and this here. And you're never going to get it right. You're never, thank God, because you can't get it right. You can't. But that's why Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't just for salvation, ladies and gentlemen. It was for that comforter, that intercessor, that one that we can go to and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I've messed up. Lord, I don't want to live in condemnation. I don't want to live in guilt. I don't want to live in shame. You know, I remember as a child growing up, and y'all have seen it. Y'all have seen movies that portray it in comedies. People go into the Catholic Church and they sit down in the little box and they open the little slide and they confess their sin to the guy on the other side. And then he tells them, oh, it's okay, your sins have been forgiven. That fella can't forgive you. Amen. But I know one that can. Amen. And he's alive and well. I want you to understand what I'm just going to tell you this morning. This is not the most complicated message ever preached. If you have guilt and you have shame, you just need to spend a little time with Jesus. Amen. If you're constantly worried about what everybody else is thinking of you, you just need to have a little walk with Him. You will be surprised what God can do for you through the blood of Jesus. We're constantly worried about what other people think and how other things go. I want you to understand one thing, and I'm going to get ready to close with this. There's times in our lives that we mess up for all of sin and falling short of the glory of God. And if any man among you says that he is without sin, is what? A liar. And guess what lying is? A sin. So he not only lied twice, but he sinned in the meantime, saying that he is without sin. Let me narrow in with this. No matter what life is throwing at you, no matter how bad the day is, there's forgiveness. Amen? I love y'all. Y'all stand with me. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard. It's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what? I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.